Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, I'll be getting the views of IFA Deputy President Richard Kennedy, who is part of a delegation that met with the Ulster Farmers Union to discuss the implications for farmers as a result of the Brexit vote. But before that, a topic that has caused its fair share of debate. Problems remain regarding glass payments to commonage farmers. The Irish Natura and Hill Farmers Association has met with Department of Agriculture officials to try and progress matters. It has now emerged that 389 commonages still have no planner approved to complete a commonage management plan. To find out more, I've been speaking with Colm O'Donnell, CAP Commodity Committee Chairman with the INHFA. Colm, you have been involved with meetings with department officials in the past week in relation to glass payments to commonage farmers, and for quite a few people, problems remain.
Yes, Chris, and thank you for having me on. Yes, the Irish Natura and Hill Farmers Association met with department officials specifically now on this issue of payments to farmers who had to choose an option if they had commonage. It was called the commonage management plan option in glass. Now, those farmers who joined in 2015 and at this stage are almost halfway into the full year of 2016, they don't actually have a commonage management plan lodged are submitted by the authorised or advisor to the department yet. Now, the department did say, in fairness, that they had given a circular to the planners and they had completed training with them, and even though the software wasn't ready yet or hadn't been given to the planners to actually submit the completed plan, that the content would be along the lines of what was in the circular. So I'm just anxious to get this opportunity to say to your listeners there who may have authorized a planner and to get onto them and find out what their actions are going to be for year one. By the end of year one, they were supposed to meet their minimum stock requirement, and that's fast approaching.
If we look back at the original rep schemes, many of them went pretty well. Glass has had quite a few problems. And what you've discussed there now, is it a case of there being too much red tape and it wasn't thought out properly in the beginning?
Well, there was no consultation with the stakeholders, in particular with Hill Farmers. And in fact, when this option was submitted as part of the Glass Rural Development Programme, they had to change aspects of it. There was a requirement there for compulsory collective agreements prior to lodging an application jointly. You know, it wasn't thought out properly. And, you know, we're still 18 months since that time when it went to Brussels without the ability to submit a plan. So, yes, I would say that the department have dragged their heels here. There's no excuse. Planners have been authorised. Why not get on with the job? Like, last September, the department advised that they would have the software up and ready to submit these plans, and we still haven't got them. And more alarmingly, any farmer who submitted an application under Tranche 2, GLAS 2, for the Commonage Management Plan option, there is almost 389 commonages without an advisor appointed to them yet. So, you know, the targets are unrealistic. To meet their minimum stocking requirement by the end of 2016 is impossible to achieve at this stage. We have advised the department officials to instruct the minister to give an extension on that minimum stocking requirement to 2017.
Am I right in saying that all the commonage management plans have to be lodged with the department and approved by October before payments will be cleared by the European Commission?
Yes, that was made quite clear to us that they would not meet the deadline for payment unless the plans were submitted. So, you know, okay, we have the month of August and the month of September. Most of the field work should be done by the authorised planner, because in some cases farmers have actually paid the planners to do the work for them. You know, so, you know, farmers need to stand up for themselves in the first instance, because they are actually, the whoever pays the piper calls the tune, they are actually paying the department, have not taken ownership like they should for these commonage management plans, like the old framework plan that was there for the last 15 or 16 years. And the NPWS have been completely negligent, and I'd have to say that a lot of this would fall on the shoulders of Minister Heather Humphreys, who has dragged her heels in this regard. You know, to let the Department of Agriculture away with taking these lands out under inspection, under land eligibility criteria, without taking screening or appropriate assessment for what impact that would have on the condition of those habitats, because 60% of our commonages are designated as SSCs or SPAs, that's special protected areas for birds and special areas of conservation. And, you know, there has got to be some joined up thinking between these two departments.
And for a county like Donegal, the numbers involved are quite large.
I would say Donegal is the highest in the country. I would think that it has got the highest level of commonages in the country. I'd have to look at my notes, but I know I have a figure in the back of my mind that Donegal is the highest, followed up by Mayo.
So what is the timeline now, as you see it, for the next 6 months, the next year or so?
Well, for Class 1 applicants, it does look like if their plans are back submitted by the authorised advisor to the department by October, they will meet the first tranche of payment, which will be 85% of the total year's payment for 2016. And when all checks are done, the 15% will issue then. But so it's vital that, you know, the farmer now has a role here to play to become proactive and ensuring that his application is in and lies with the department. Because some of these plans are still not straightforward, because there will be issues like where there's dormancy, where there's dormant shares, where some farmers are coming in at less than their minimum stocking requirement per share. Those cases will have to go to the Commonage Implementation Committee. And that committee will then advise on whether the plan is a valid plan. So there's an awful lot of work to be done. And, you know, the Commonage Implementation Committee was chaired by an independent chairman who happens to be Joe Healy, who is now the IFA National President. So a new chairman and a revamped committee will have to be put in place. And at this stage, we will not tolerate a situation where we don't have farmer representation on the Commonage Implementation Committee. To date, it's NPWS, Chagas, and Department of Agriculture officials and some retired department officials. So, you know, we're putting a call out here that there's got to be a hill farmer representative on the Commonage Implementation Committee.
And of course, ultimately, it's about getting money into the farmer's pocket at the end of the day, and that money vital for the local community as well, as it's most of it is spent locally.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you see, in year one, there's an added cost here on the farmer who joins up, because in the first instance he will have to pay his share or percentage share to the authorised or the approved advisor, and he may also have to meet the stocking action, which was the requirement in year one, and in some cases that might mean buying in replacement your lambs or sourcing them, and you know, how do you do that without money? So, you know, I'd say any farmer who took the commonage action in Glass is going to have a higher percentage cost in year one. So I would say that, you know, at this stage it looks like those deadlines will not be met. Unless there's a big push, and we'll be calling on the minister to ensure that hill farmers are not left without payments come the back end of the year.
Colm O'Donnell, CAP Commodity Committee Chairman with the Irish Natura and Hill Farmers Association. Now on to the Brexit fallout and what do farmers think across the border. Of course, there are differing views. Some farmers in the north voted to leave, others voted for remain. IFA Deputy President Richard Kennedy has been speaking with the senior Ulster Farmers Union officials to try and find out more. He's been telling me about the meeting. I suppose in many ways, Richard, it was a little bit of a learning process for the IFA.
Well, it was very much so, Chris. Look, I suppose that was the principal item on the agenda, but it was one of the items on the agenda. And I think we both agreed, I say, both the Ulster Farmers and ourselves, IFAF, agreed that there's a lot of uncertainty around at the moment. And nobody really knows what's going to happen. I think it's fair to say that we need to, on a regular basis, meet. We certainly don't want a static border back up again, you know, because there's so much trade that we have between ourselves. We have people that own land at both sides of the border. We have milk that's travelling, you know, that has been processed both sides of the border. We have cattle that are bought in the Republic and go for fattening in the north. We have sheep that come down from the north to the south. So, you know, that we're absolutely clear that whatever happens at the end of this, that we don't want that trade interfered with, or at least to the minimal effect.
Now, many farmers in the north actually voted in favour of leaving the European Union, but at the same time, whilst they might have voted in favour, likewise, they still don't want to see that hard border there.
I think that's I got that impression from the meeting that nobody wants to have border. We certainly don't want it from an IFA point of view, and I know that also from what I got from the meeting, I'd be absolutely clear in my own mind that the Ulster farmers don't want it either, you know. I got the impression as well from the people from the north that look, there's a lot of uncertainty. We have reservations, obviously, as well. We would have preferred if the North didn't vote to leave. Well, they didn't vote to leave, but if the UK was going to leave, because we do so much trade with the UK and with the North, and it would have been much better, in our opinion, that if they didn't vote to leave. But seeing as that the vote is taken, our job. Both sides would agree that we need to make it as easy as possible. You know that the leaving is going to be as easy as possible from the point of view of trade. And I know that from listening to what the Ulster farmers are saying, that you know, they're very apprehensive, I think, as to what the future holds for them now. And there's no doubt about that.
And finally, Richard, important for everybody involved that there's minimal red tape, and that must be a real fear.
Well, to look at it, that's a potential for that. I think, like that, you know, I had some experience. I was in the UK quite recently, and you know, I think there's a general feeling there that look, that even though many farmers would have voted to get to leave because of all the regulations, I think there's a realization now that, you know, many of these regulations may still stay in existence.
IFA Deputy President Richard Kennedy there. In other news, a pollution incident in a river near Clody in County Derry is being linked to silage effluent. Over 1,000 fish were killed. Chagas has published its mid-year economic assessment of farm income prospects for 2016, but the outlook is hardly encouraging. Following a number of years in which Irish average farm incomes increased, falling commodity prices, the drop in the value of sterling, and some unfavourable production conditions are likely to have an adverse effect on Irish incomes in 2016. Just time for the livestock prices. Cattle prices, supplies tighter. A steer base €3.80 to €3.85 a kilo. Heifers €3.90 to €3.95 a kilo. And bulls €3.65 to €4 a kilo. Cows making €2.85 to €3.35 a kilo. Sheep prices, well, supplies tight. Factories paying €4.70. Tops €4.80. Weights to 22 kilos. Strong store trade. And finally, well, I see that Donegal All-Ireland winner Neil Gallagher is featuring in an advertiser's announcement on the Farmers Journal website. His message is that not vaccinating lambs with a certain product is like playing Tyrone or Mayo without a goalie. It's a little bit of clever marketing, and Big Neil is quoted in relation to all ewes on the family farm being vaccinated before lambing, and how all lambs are then vaccinated at around 3 weeks of age and then get a booster. Some sound advice from the big man. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.